सहना भवतु सहना भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृन्द। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। Okay. So now then we come to the I hope.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, sorry, I wanted to tell that Prabhu is not coming. It's Guru
Oh,
Maharaj
okay.
day, so he went to meet him.
What to meet?
Kavichandra Maharaj.
Kavi Chandra Maharaj,
Oh,
always here. Okay,
he
very
arrived,
nice.
yes.
Okay,
Yes.
very nice.
He
Okay,
wanted me
okay.
to apologize for
Yeah,
him
no
not being
problem.
present.
Okay.
Krishna,
Sahib,
sorry.
Hariba, Hariba. Okay, so on Virupaksha Japa. Okay, so this is prayer to the Lord as Virupaksha. So then, raising his right knee from the ground, he should hold fruit, flowers, rice, and kusa grass between his fists. The right fist being above the left fist, and the left fist being below. He should recite the following. That means then you take the rice and rice and the kusa grass. What is it? Fruit, rice, the fruit. That means the flowers and all that, and then you put the banana in like that, and then you put your hand like this, and then like this, you're chanting the prayer. So then, this then is going, I surrender with body, mind, and soul to the great, beautiful personality of Godhead, manifested as Agni, possessed of unlimited eyes and flesh and teeth, whose resting place is under a palash tree, whose golden abode flashes in the sky like lightning, who is accompanied by all the devatas who are situated in the metal kumbha. Being full of strength, attentive, and unblinking, you watch for demons. Right? So the Lord, he expands his creation, and he comes and also takes part in that, because the expansion of the creation is also one of his pastimes, right? Krishna has no work, right? We have work, and then we'll have some free time. Krishna, everything happens just by his desire, so all he has is free time, right? So then he'll come because he has to pervade everything to make it work. So the point is as he is there, as Brahman pervading everything, and at the same time, this needs to be controlled. And so then he also pervades everything as Paramatma. But it doesn't mean that he himself would naturally then would come and be there as part of this as Bhagavan. And so then, even though he is the potency of the demigods, he is all these different things. And so then he manifests himself, and he takes care of all the different things. And the Lord's never alone. He's always accompanied by his associates, right? So then when you're dealing with the yajna and that, or, with the fire and all that, then there's always going to be, like we said, a pot that's installed with all the, important personalities. So for others, it'll be the devatas. For us, it'll be the devotees and the Lord's associates, who are expanding as the devatas anyway. So if you have them, you already have the devatas, right? Just like we see in Dwarka, that when Krishna came, he told all the devatas to come and appear in the Yadu dynasty to take part in his pastimes, because the Lord is always performing his pastimes with the devotees. So the devatas are also the devotees. But when they come and they manifest within that personality who they're expanding from, right? So we have all those associates that we know of in Dwarka, and so those personalities are the cause of the personalities that are known as the demigods. So whoever is the source of Vayu, then that demigod appears in that, with that personality and all that. Does that make sense? Just like when Krishna comes, all the avatars are present within him. And so therefore then he can act in any capacity. Does that make sense? So that's why you see when Krishna's in Vrindavan, he's killing the demons, he's acting in his Vasudeva capacity. Though it's still Krishna doing, but he's doing that through his mood of Vasudeva, where he's the Supreme Lord and he establishes the all the proper religious elements and comforts and inspires the devotees and gets rid of the demons. So he's doing all that together. So there may be a particular form is prominent, but it's still him. So here he's talking about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And so then he is coming to take this form, to lead the demigods and everything in sacrifice and like that. And so then you see here the Palash tree. He stays under the Palash, and that's why you see the Palash, Udumbura, and Kadira. These are always then the things that are to be that are used within the sacrifice. Just like I think I think Krishna at the end when he's performing his disappearance pastimes in the Mosha Lila, then he's sitting there with his four, with his Vishnu form, and under a young, I think, Odumbara tree, or the young banyan tree, and that. And then the Shankarchakra Gada Padma's weapons are all there personified with him and all that. So, when he does sit under a tree, it's under some nice tree, like that, especially if it's some formal kind of occasion, then it'll always be under like that. Like Krishna then is sitting, in Vrindavan, sitting on his golden throne, in the temple, in the golden throne, surrounded by his associates, is sitting under the original Kalpa Vriksha tree, right? Because from that Kalpa Vriksha then expands all the other Kalpa Vrikshas, those expand into the other realms, and then those come down here, and then you get all the other variety of trees.
All right.
Yes, please.
Palasha is jackfruit.
Palash is jackfruit, okay.
And so Udumbura is the fig tree.
Fig, yes, so that's the banyan. And then there's the Kadira, does it mention?
Kadira is, I saw the picture, it is like the one which has like big black kind of hard seed kind of scene.
Oh, okay. Well, we can look it up.
Yeah, it is also in like normally visible tree around.
Oh, okay. So then Palas is the jackfruit. Also, we see is that when you're building houses, then it's recommended that for the Brahmin houses that they use for their wood, use the Palash. The jackfruit. It's one is that it's a very sattvic tree. It's also carvable and all that kind of things, not as much as others. And, it has the yellow color, then, which is, has more of the mode of goodness, while other ones have more of the red and the brown, So then, the red will be the element of passion. The brown will be add that blue to it. Then you get that kind of color. And so then that's there. But you see, most people aren't so interested in it like that. It also has a tendency to not bend so much. And it's not necessarily such an expensive wood because it's not a fancy wood, but it's considered an auspicious wood. So it's anything that we've ever built out of that kadamba doesn't bend. Like you notice, I don't know if you've seen in Mayapur, then the doors on the bathrooms, where we have the general bathrooms, not the one in the building, but the outside ones. The doors aren't that thick, but the doors never bend, even though they are in the stan and this and that. And so in that way, it's just trouble-free. Brahmins don't need the trouble of having to work with all that stuff. Right? It's just an annoyance, because once they've done something, it's done, and then they move on and do other things. They don't have time to play around like that. So, like that. So then he's accompanied and situated. So the Lord, whenever he comes, this is pastimes, because he takes every form that there is in the 8,400,000. So there's also going to be a form where he's omniscient. And so then in that pastime, and then all the devatas situated in the metal kumbha that you've installed and all that. And so then that, and he watches for the demons, right? Because when you're performing sacrifice, there's always going to be somebody who doesn't appreciate that. And so then the Lord is always watching. Right, so it means that also he has that fire element, that protection element, that also that if the demons come, then they'll be destroyed, right? At least repulsed. Next verse. You are manifest in 12 forms, known as your sons, those aspirants who, throughout the years, worship you with sacrifices, achieve the spiritual status of Brahman. Right? These 12 forms would be then the different forms of Agni.
You don't know?
Okay. But in any case, there's 12 forms and it goes back to something. It can be it also because it says throughout the year, it can also be 12 forms can mean the months, you know, because you also see in many of these sacrifices here. Then it's also talking about how the Lord stands with the months, he stands with the years. You know, and all these different things. And because also the 12 months, and that's the times in which you perform sacrifice. So who throughout the year worship you with sacrifices. So that means in every month they're worshiping. And so in that way it's connected. And so if there's some other explanation, all these things match. That's the nice thing, because Krishna, having come as everything, everything connects. You just have to appreciate how they connect. You know, what is the order and what's the particular purpose? So, in other words, someone who throughout the year and throughout the years, so someone who all year and every year is worshiping the Lord through sacrifice, then he attains the spiritual status of Brahman. He comes to that spiritual platform, right? And so then if you worship these sacrifices to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then that will bring you to the transcendental position as a devotee, as an associate of the Lord. Right? So you have all these nice points, is that through sacrifices, you see Krishna in the beginning gave sacrifice to the demigods. And through this, then all people will become, all living entities in the universe will become satisfied. So the humans are all doing sacrifice. It makes everything in the universe go nice. That means all the other living entities, like the animals and that, they also get benefited. It's a very nice environment for them too. Right? You know, if the weather is running normally, the seasons are running normally, it works nicely for the animals also. You are the best among the devas. May I become the best among the men by becoming your devotee. He who is part of the Lord follows after the Lord. May I thus seek after you. May I not offend by my faulty chanting, my faulty offerings, my faulty activities. Right? So he is the best of the devatas, means of those who control everything in the universe. He's the best because he's the source of all of them and he supplies the potency for all of them to function. And may I become the best of men. So there's all, you know, men are there. Then if they take up, understanding of the Lord and try to follow, understand the Lord's laws and try to follow that, then they become better. They become human. Then when they understand, you know, who am I? And they understand that the soul, that then brings them to their natural position. That spiritual position. Then in that position, when they take up the service of the Lord in devotion to him as a person, then that becomes the best. So that's the best position of men. So may I become, just as he's the best among the devatas, may I become the best among men by becoming your devotee. Not just I may become best, so I'm, you know, bigger and stronger and faster and better looking and, you know, like that. No, it means that it means by being a devotee. And then we see that, you know, and so one is part of the Lord follows the Lord. So when you say that you're following them there, so like you see is that this point, if it's about the Lord, then you follow the Lord. you do what he does. You do what he wants. You know, you don't just do what you want. Right? And that I may not offend by, you know, faulty chanting, faulty offerings, faulty activities. So we see here the chanting is the central feature in all these offerings and activities. I surrender to you, inspired by you. I perform this activity. May it bring me satisfaction. May it bring me spiritual prosperity. May I reach the ultimate goal. Right, so he's surrendering unto Krishna here. And he's already mentioned before, I may become a devotee, I may follow after, that everything may be done for his pleasure. Right? I am your devotee, right? So that establishes the sabandha. Who is part and parcel, follows after the Lord. That does the abhideya. And that I not offend you means that I please you. That's the prayojana, right? In the previous verse. So now here that point, surrender unto you. So inspired by you, I perform this activity, right? I surrender to you. That will be the Sankarshan aspect. I inspired by you, the Prajumna aspect, I perform this activity, right? And so may it bring me satisfaction. That'll be the Aniruddha aspect, right? So may it, and so satisfaction, you can only actually get satisfaction in connection with transcendental activities. So even spiritual will give more satisfaction, means dharma artha kama, means the kama gives the lowest, artha gives a little bit more, dharma gives, you know, like a human level of satisfaction. Then moksha gives, you know, a level of satisfaction for the soul, but because it's temporary, it's not going to be up to the point of when it's transcendental, right? So then we want to bring it there. So spiritual prosperity means I'm understanding on this transcendental path how everything connects to the Lord. So therefore, doing everything to with detachment, then that brings me to you know, the karma yoga on this transcendental path. When I then add into that a sense of renunciation you know, giving up that sense of ownership. And I understand, you know, it's about what's going to be best for spiritual life, not just only the other activities. So that brings us to the level of the jnana yoga, when we see God as a person and all that, and then see that aspect. But we recognize and acknowledge and all that, but we don't necessarily take it further. That brings us to the fourth part of the Astanga yoga. But when we take it to the point of where we're doing it to please the Lord as a person, we as a person please him as a person. And that's the actual purpose. It's not that we're pleasing him to get karma or we're pleasing him to get liberation or some other thing. We're pleasing him to please him. That's what we want to do as a person. We want to please the other person. So that then is the actual, you know, proper spiritual prosperity. You're moving through these stages. And may I reach the ultimate goal. We actually come to that point of pure devotional service. Right? That will be the ultimate goal. Because goals below that, though they're on this transcendental path, they're part of it, as Prabhupada mentions, they're stepping stones. But until you get to that point of coming to pure devotion to prema, then it's not actually come to the ultimate platform. But you are the all-pervading personality, unlimited ocean. Be merciful upon me. You are Tuta, Vishwadeva, and the son of Brahma. Be merciful upon me. You are deliverer from fear, the wisest one, the sun and the moon. Please be merciful unto me. Right, so he's the all-pervading personality of Godhead and the unlimited ocean. He sees the ocean and is you know, from which everything is within. When we say the ocean, we mean everything's within there. So all waters in the ocean, all the other things are in the ocean, whatever is there. So everything that is getting benefit is coming out of that ocean. Right, so then even on the general platform, you know, in karma, is that you perform the sacrifices, then from the ocean, the sun evaporates the water. That goes in and then by the effect of the moon, then that becomes clouds. And then there's rain. And then that nourishes all the living entities and makes everything work. So then, you know, from that, the grass comes, cows eat the grass, then you get milk, you get ghee, you know, everything is coming from the sacrifice. So, you know, even he's the unlimited ocean, he is the source of everything. So everything, you know, will, what we require on all levels will come from him. Then he's the Tuta Vishwadeva and the son of Brahma. So these must be prominent personalities for the performance of, you know, all these different varieties of rituals. And so he is the one who's giving all these things. Whatever we're looking for in anything is coming from him. So if he's on this, we see as before. So we're looking for things in the family. He is what it is we're gaining from the family, the effect that we're feeling that, oh, this is father, this is mother, this is brother, this is sister, this is son, this is all these different elements. Those potencies are all Krishna. Right? And so it's actually coming from him. So may he be merciful unto me that I see everything in relation to him and this way come closer to him. You're the deliverer from fear means now you give up that concept that I am these things. Identify as the soul. And it's the soul identify as servant of Krishna. Right? Then that delivers us from fear. The wisest one, because whatever he says, he's the one who gives the Vedas, he's the one that shows how it's done, he's the one that performs this wonderful pastime. So that's the most wise, because wise means this comes from wisdom will be realized knowledge. He is knowledge. So it's not even just realized, he is the knowledge. The sun and the moon, because everything is functioning from that, we see it's also the sun and moon of the eyes of the Lord, so then we can see properly what's happening. Please be merciful upon me. Right? To the many-eyed, smiling Lord, the all-pervading ocean of mercy, to the all-powerful, all-wealthy, all-strong, all-knowing, all-perceiving personality, the son of Brahma, the Supreme Lord, possessor of all opulences, I pay my respects. Right? Many-eyed, smiling Lord. So you also have the aspect of the, you know, the thousand-headed Purusha, like that. And so then he's there, he's smiling, he's all taking all these things, and then he's acting as the son of Brahma, right? And that he's coming from, and he's living there with the Lord and all that. And so then, you know, all Brahma's activities are done in the context of worshiping this thousand-headed Lord. And so then he is the source of everything, you know, so all the opulences, all power, all wealth, all strength, all knowing, all perceiving, all this is that's all coming from him. And I pay my respects to that personality because whatever is to be gained from any platform is all coming from him. So whatever your platform, it doesn't matter. So then he should throw the rice to the northeast and give the flowers and fruit to the Brahma priest. So having done that, then these things are there. So the rice is in the hand. So on the top will be the fruit, the kusa, and the flowers. So then that's taken and given. So this then is in his hand, and he'll put it in his hand, and that will be thrown into the northeast corner. Right, means in the direction of the yajna. So that means forward to his left. Then he should say, I surrender to austerity, energy, faith, humility, truth, absence of anger, renunciation, patience, righteousness, goodness, words, mind, and soul. May they be merciful upon me. Right, so all these qualities, we may say, I have these qualities, but they're there for us to use and take advantage of, but they're not actually ours. They belong to Krishna. All these opulence come from him. So that's one of the elements of, as you advance, when you come to the platform of Nishta, then one of the elements that's mentioned by the Acharyas is that the Nishta platform, then one starts to appreciate the qualities of the Lord. Right? Because the qualities then take up the dynamic aspect. It's through qualities that interaction happens. Relationships are based on qualities. Interaction is based on the qualities. Results are based on qualities. So the whole process is all about qualities. Right? So then you have name, form, then pastimes. I mean, then qualities. And so then these qualities are what's that will bring rights to the pastime. So if you appreciate the qualities, then you start to get a taste about the Lord and his interaction. That then you get the attachment. If there's a taste, that then goes on to bhava. Bhava goes to prema. Right? So all these qualities that are coming that the Lord interacts with the devotees. So then these are all ones that are very prominent and very useful in spiritual development. You know, advancing and interacting with the devotees is the basis for what you're doing. So the austerity means the performance of duties, energy, then was always enthusiastic to be involved, right? Because even if there's physical faith, energy, if there's no mental energy, then you can't do anything. If there's mental energy, even though there's not physical, something can be done, right? Faith that you appreciate that how everything's connected to the Lord and how everything, by worship of the Lord, everything is taken care of, right? Because if that faith is there, so these, if they're being merciful, that means that it's fixed, it's firm, right? So we're saying that when you come to that point of nishta, that's the point of dridha shraddha, that the faith is mature, and it starts to become, well, it's mature, it becomes fixed. It's at more maturity. It's not the full maturity, but it comes to that point. So being there, then you're appreciating the qualities of the Lord. Otherwise, you see, is then you can appreciate, and they also appreciate the qualities of the devotees. That's the one aspect of the Madhyama. They appreciate devotees. Devotees are important in the relationships. Well, neophytes, devotees aren't so important for them. And so that means they can't appreciate the good qualities and all that. So they're not really appreciating these qualities come from the Lord. They appreciate God, but they're not seeing him fully as that personal aspect, meaning in interaction with the devotees. They see him as the Supreme Lord. So it's more of a localized kind of aspect. Especially it becomes more and more narrow that, okay, this is my religion or my this or that. And only that much is what you're restricting the Lord to when he's actually connected with everything. Right? So humility, and that's the basis that I'm the soul, I'm serving Krishna. So, you know, whatever goes on is all by Krishna's grace, so we're not the main player here. Truth, then it's all means centered around Krishna. That's truth. Everything else might be seeming to be facts, but even those facts are based on measurements that are coming from truth. If you interpret your facts not including that, then it'll be the opposite. It'll be against Krishna. Though at the same time, it's the potency of being against us. An atheist means lack of theism. So it's not a separate quality. It's still based on theism. So the negative is always based on the lack of the positive. And without the positive, the negative doesn't have any existence. Absence of anger, because anger then means that there's something you want to gain and like this, or there's something that's there. And so then you have to see is that. So absence of anger specifically means anger for ourselves, and that we want something, you know, within the context of dharma, artha, kama, and moksha, and then we don't get it. So there's anger after frustration. But here is that, you know, that's what we're meaning. There's no mundane element of that. So there's nothing to gain. There's no fear. So there's no loss. Renunciation then is seen in that context of seeing it how, you know, the actions are so. We see the environment connected to Krishna, and us as servant of Krishna, we see everything, how it can be served for Krishna, and the results that will be gained from that are all for Krishna. So then that's possibly the whole idea, is that it's how far we can take that. That renunciation in the beginning, maybe we may see our position within it in being someone to gain something, but we give that to the Lord, but eventually we see that matures into the level of sannyas, right? Patience, that we know that things take time and time will function in their own way. Time is activity. Time is movement. Therefore, if something's not happening now, it means because the action hasn't happened to produce it. So that will come. When the action is performed, the result will be gained. So therefore, then this action is based on time. Therefore, patience means when the time comes, then it will happen. So Krishna is in control of time. So when he wants it to give that result, then it will. But righteousness, that things are being done for what's right and what's wrong. And what's right means done to please Krishna. What's wrong means not to please Krishna. Right? And so what's done to please Krishna, that's the direct, you know, like that. And the, and what's not done to please is indirect. And of that is that, okay, it's maybe following. Then you have the pious. Is it following the laws given by Krishna, but it's not meant for Krishna, it's meant for yourself? That'll be pious. And it's not following the laws, so, you know, therefore, it's a problem. So righteous is that it's being done. It's being done in the right, you know, right way. Goodness that we see is without that attachment, with knowledge and that situation, that, you know, it's being done from the, like we said, the austerity. Words, and so then that the words are action and everything, because that also includes the intelligence, right? Mind, then, you know, that the, how one contemplates and analyzes and deals with everything and makes your judgments and all that, may that all also be all within the context of these before. And the soul, we may act on the platform that I understand I'm the soul, you know, a part and parcel of the supreme soul. So the whole point, principle of soul is Krishna, and we're part and parcel. So that way then we are also, you know, a minute fraction, infinitesimal being of soul. May they be merciful upon me, right? That we may get the blessings of being able to have these qualities and function in these qualities. Then Amatrika Homa, silent Homa, should throw ghee soaked wood of Pradesh linked with flowers and Ganta into the fire silently. Right. Yeah. So that's just respect. So now this ends this session. So it's been done. So then this is offered to the fire, you know, as finishing the Kushandika. You know, just like when you do so many things, and at the end, and the Lord is worshiping, you know, you bring him, you sit him, you do this, and then you do the worship offerings and all that. So for the fire, then offering the you know, nice things, the ghee-soaked wood, flowers, ganda, and these are all nice offerings. Okay, so yes, please.
I'm not clear fully. What is the significance of the Virupaksha Japa?
I mean, means you're respecting the Lord, that he's Agni. He's the one that makes everything function. Like all the mantras before, is talking about how he pervades everything, he makes everything work. Why does the yajna work? Why does sacrifice work? Because the Lord is that potency of Agni to make it all work. And so therefore then the sacrifice has meaning. And the point is that has meaning in that it's connected to him, serving him, becoming his devotee, functioning with all good qualities and the capacity as his servant, his devotee.
Right? Because we are doing it towards the end of Pushakandika rather than beginning.
Yes, because you've done all the preliminaries, and now that you've done all the preliminaries, now you respect. Okay. Just like when you're doing the 16 items, first thing is asanam, then swagatam, then padyamargyam, achmaniyam, madhu, all these things. Then at the end, then you're going to be at the end, and you see it's going to be the prayers.
Okay.
So this will be, this is what we could say is like the 16th item.
Yes.
You also know, it's going to be the prayers that are specifically to him in this capacity, not just to the fire like before we worship, or that, you know, he is the host of, but him, the personality of Godhead, how he's there, how all his devotees, and how our relationship, and how the whole sacrifice and the whole cosmos and creation works.
Yeah. Yes, sir. Then the prayers make more meaning.
Yes.
And one more detail, Maharaj. After offering, then you're giving the bananas and flowers back. Is that the same thing? Could we offer that in the Purnahuti later? And then,
oh, it says give him to the Brahma priest.
Means it's already like considered as a Maha?
It's one of those, it's in between. It's one of those, if it's offered into the fire, it's not a problem.
Okay.
You know, it's just like, let's say, around the fire.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say if you decorate with fruits and all that.
Mm-hmm.
That's decoration. So technically, in one sense, it's been offered to the Lord for his satisfaction as a decoration, but it hasn't mm-hmm. been offered for him specifically to eat.
Okay.
So that means all those nice things that were brought in and to make that nice thing could be offered to the Lord afterwards.
Yes.
So in other words, people bring in baskets of stuff and it's all around and it's there and it's making the night, then it could be taken in and used for the deities. Or because it has been offered on a level that it's been offered for the Lord, that it's making the nice arrangements, it could be then given out to the devotees as prasad. But the stuff that's been offered into the fire, that's prasad, definitely. That's not, okay, well, I can offer that to the deities now. No.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
So it's kind of in between. So it's one of those things that many times people get all, you know, bent out of shape about these things. They get too, in other words, if you understand religion is how Krishna being everything, everything's being offered back to Krishna. And mm-hmm. so it's going to be in the context of my situation, right? It means it's going to be in the context of the direct religion is that he is the Supreme Lord, who he is, and I is the part and the parcel who I am. And then my relationship with him and my doing everything to please him, that aspect of the sad-dharma. But then it comes to the detail of my specific position. What does that mean? Right? In other words, in principle, everyone, just like in Vrindavan, everyone is serving as a Brajvasi. Because there's a mood in Braj that makes it Braj. So all mm-hmm. Brajvasis have that Brajvasi mood. Then within that mood, they have a specific of which is their rasa. And within that rasa, what are other details that it brings it down to where they serve him.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes, Maharaj.
Yeah. So in the same way is that that there's going to be the secondary point in religion is your position here, because we don't have that relationship, natural relationship they do in the spiritual world. We have our position by our conditioning. So therefore, our conditioning defines what is the realm that we can act within, right? So that's why then everybody having a duty, everyone doing what they're supposed to and the traditions and all that, that's actually pious. Because it's in line with, now you could go from piety to doing all those right things because you understand it pleases Krishna. So you as the person, as a devotee, are using your conditioned state to engage all that within your realm of influence in Krishna's service at the appropriate times and appropriate places, right? So then that's there. But if we say, no, anybody can do anything, it doesn't matter. You're disregarding the laws of Krishna, and then it's about yourself. It's not about Krishna. Because about Krishna, you already have a position. You can do that for Krishna. And even if there's other things to do, it doesn't matter. You have your position to do for Krishna. So we see in the modern context where they're trying to break down all the traditions, all the classical things like this, it's atheistic. So this modern culture that we call liberal is actually atheism. Because one of the first things it does is attack religion. So if it can't attack it directly, it'll attack it secondarily. But as soon as it gets strong in that kind of under, you know, in the little details, then when it can, it will come out directly and attack religion. As you see, so many of the liberal things in the last few years when they're getting into all these breaking down of the gender ideologies and all this, as soon as they get that kind of more established where it's kind of like people are a little bit, you know, not as against, then immediately if somebody brings it out that no, it's not this, instead of establishing their ideology, they attack their religion. Like that. You can see it. It's been happening the last few years. It's just the way it goes. Or communism, you know, it's all about everybody. We're all equal. And then what's the first thing to go is religion. Because it's an authority. They don't want any other authority than themselves. right? So this whole principle is that these secondary things, you have to see all in the context of the Lord. And so your position, whatever it is, you use that in the service to the Lord as is directed by the Lord and the Acharyas. That's honest. That's true. And to do anything else, you know, knowingly is non-theistic. It's not theistic. It's going against the laws of nature and what you're dealing with. So the mechanics of the world, how it works, is going against. And you can say, oh, we're getting prosperous. Are we? What's the quality of food now and everything else and that? Maybe we have a better phone than anybody had before, but the food you're eating is nowhere near the, what your grandparents or great-grandparents ate. The quality of relationships, the quality of life, the quality of spare time, the quality of what, where, you know, what kind of homes and spaces you live in, nothing compares, absolutely nothing. The all you have in return is you have a fancy phone. That's it. And everything else, and you can't eat the phone. You know, so therefore then, you know, you try to fulfill all those needs through your phone. So that's the point, is that it's atheistic. Say what you want. It's just these are the actual facts. People like, don't like, it doesn't matter. This is what it is. They may have faith in this or not. It doesn't matter to God. This is the way it is. So if that's accepted, then that's your first step, you know, on moving, shifting to piety. And then if you continue that, you'll see then it's towards understanding the authority of the Lord, then going forward into respecting the Lord as a person and then respecting him as a devotee. And so this natural stepping stones are there. You know, this is then how it works. So the idea is that you're going through and seeing all these things at different points. You're seeing things connected to the Lord and how he's involved. But then at the end, you bring it all together. It's like in the Adivas, each article is offered. And then at the end, they're all on one big plate. And then you make that big offering like that. So it's the same kind of concept. Is that it's going to be Oh, it's interesting. I just realized when I'm looking at anybody in the, you know, in the video, when I look what's on my left side, I understand, I know that's their right. You know, I don't have to think about it. But in my video, then it's not a mirror image, it's actually how others see it in the same way. I think it's reversed. I'm not used to it. I my brain, the reflected image, then I know that, you know, it'll work in that way. So I know it's the opposite of when I'm looking at a person. So it's very funny seeing the video and seeing that what you're doing is opposite of what you're used to seeing in a mirror. Right? Okay, so does that make sense? And so that means all these things are there, and then also all the qualities by which now we'll be able to interact and apply yourself into that, because without the qualities, it becomes very hard to apply it. As we see, it's the maturity. It means the Madhyama is known for that dynamic, consistent action because of qualities. The neophyte sometimes is there, sometimes it's not. You know, because the qualities aren't as strong. You know, so where the qualities are developing or developed, then where there's more development, then you see there's more stability in those areas. And where there are less, that's where it's more or inconsistent. Yes, no, very good.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Yes, so we see there's a consistency in how it's done. There's a method. The 16 items are there. So depending on what you're applying it to, then different aspects will be used in, you know, and it'll be specific for what you're doing. So since it's applied to the yajna, you have gandapushpa, but the food is wood and ghee, you know, instead of kachoris and rasgulas like that, you know. So it's going to have the particular elements like that. You know, here you're throwing it in the fire, the other one you may put it at the feet, or may make a garland, put it around like that, if it's a person, like that. So the elements are there. So this is one of the things that when I heard about those who had gone and were, you know, taking instruction from other sampradayas about following these rituals and all that, this one especially they couldn't understand. You know, because the Shris deal nothing with the demigods. So they don't even that approach on how the Lord, you know, is actually the potency of the demigod. And actually when we say worship Indra in the Chandogya, Indra's pointing out that means worship the Supreme Lord. He's actually the Indra. He's actually the Agni. He's actually Vayu. He's the potency of these. And whatever is the main principle of that, that's what he is. Like that. And his potency through that, then the demigod can function. So when the Vedas say worship Indra, it means worship Krishna, worship Vishnu. So the Madhvas understand that, at least those who are going into philosophy when they study the Vedanta. Then they understand this, so they don't have much of a problem. So it's very strange that something that's a basic thing for the general sampradaya, then they can't understand because they're taking shelter of other sampradayas and going too far into it. They're not just going in to find out what are certain technical aspects. They're going so far in as their philosophy and how they deal and all that. And then because they can't understand this. So our Kushandika and Udicha Karma, they can't understand. So therefore, then they reject it and want to do something that these other sampradayas are doing. But that's the whole point, is since we are following our acharyas, if we have that faith, then they will give us the appreciation to understand how this works. Yeah?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So now that that's started again, so we've done the first part, you know, this is the Kushandika, and before that, then we had, what was that area? Maruparka, I think it was called. Vivaha Karma, but it was that. Okay, so it's just called Vivaha Karma. But you know, all the different sections where the father is selecting the groom, respecting the groom, because if you say, why should he respect the groom? He's the father, he's the son-in-law, he's the junior. But what job is the son-in-law now going to do? Right? He's going to do the job of the father. The father has protected the girl all this time. And now the son-in-law is going to do that. Just as in the future, then the son is protected. You know? So that's the whole idea, is that that principle, in other words, he's the father, it's a potency. It's not, he may think, oh, I am the father, how can I respect? But how are you the father? Where's the potency come from? Right? So that's the whole point, is that the individual being a father, or being a husband, or being a son, or a brother, you know, or being a teacher, or, you know, any kind of position, that potency comes from Krishna. And one has to recognize it comes from Krishna, therefore it's used as Krishna would use it. And would want you to use it. That's how it's done. And so doing it that way, then one becomes satisfied. It works out nicely, and others become satisfied. Not using it that way, it doesn't work. So therefore, he's respecting him as the one who's now going to take charge of the daughter. And the whole point is, up to now, as a father taking care of the daughter, then it has that particular mood, right? And it's actually easier to be a father than it is to be a husband, right? Because from the father, then he takes care of that, and it's all that. Plus, it's also the girl's at a younger age. Now she comes to the marriageable age. Now it throws in other elements that are more of a trip. Right, so then the husband taking care of that, then that one should respect that. Someone who is willing to take that up is respectable. Right, so he's doing that. Then we see is then the girl comes, and then after offering respect to the groom, then acknowledges and accepts him as the person that she's going to marry, and then that's reciprocal. Then he shows yes, he's going to marry back by the exchange of garlands. Now the father is then showing that, okay, now my authority over the girl in that way now switches to the son-in-law, right? And so then that's by the pouring of the water, the mantra is like this and that, and then how now that they're bound together in this knot of marriage through this and that, and so that's all been done, and that brings it up to this point. So that's a complete section in itself, though it's part of a bigger thing, but it's now we do the Kushandika, and now it's complete in itself. And then we see is that now we go on to the next part of the central part of the marriage, and then we'll have the concluding parts of the marriage, and then we'll have, you know, the concluding part of the yajna. So all these different elements will come up, you know, one after the other. So panigrahana, taking the bride's hand. So we have two places where it's called that, panigrahana here, and then after they go around the fire, the seven steps, then there's also a panigrahana. Like that. Okay. So the first part of that then is called vastra paridhapana, putting on new cloth. After the groom has completed the Kushandika rites, a friend of the groom, while carrying a pot of water filled from a permanent water body, right? Not means, in other words, from an, you know, a lake, a river, big enough that it's nice and clean and all that, a pukur, you know, a pond, you know, anything like that. In other words, ideally not from the tap. You know, if you don't have anything else, you fill it from the tap and, you know, put some Ganga water in it, right? And covered with a cloth. So there's the pot covered with a cloth. So it's no leaves, no coconuts, anything like that. And followed by another friend holding a wooden cooking spoon, should pass silently by the east side to the south side of the fire and stand facing north. So they just come in, pass by, and stand over there, right? So these will be representing some very, you know, important elements, because if you have water, it's from a proper source, a permanent source. It's not, you know, so it has that aspect of being permanent, you know, long-standing like that. And, you know, the water represents the purity, represents the taste that one gets, you know, in relationships and all that. And it's covered, so it's protected, you know, so one is already pure, it's already from a, you know, standard background, and it's being covered, so it's all that. And, you know, then the friends are there also to help and protect. Then you have the spoon. You know, spoon is going to be, you know, the cooking, the serving, you know, these kind of things. That's the central, the eating is the central part of the house, you know, the family and all that. And so if this is going on nicely and all that, so with the supports of friends, and how are they supporting? Are they coming in and go, yeah, here we are, you know, here's the Raju, you know, not like that. No, they're just walking in silently. Right. And standing on the south side, which is then Yamaraja's side, which is means it's about, you know, doing the right thing and all that. So that means silently as friends, they do the right thing and always are supporting their friends. Yep. There it is. Right there. That's friends. Everybody else is called acquaintances. Okay, you know, or friend in a particular context, you know, like, yeah, he's my exercise friend, my exercise buddy. When I go to the gym, you know, we hang out and talk, but outside of that, you don't, or like that. But these are ones that it's about, you know, they're just there. They're always there. On the west side of the fire, okay, so that's there. On the west side of the fire should be placed a winnowing basket filled with four handfuls of popped rice for prosperity, mixed with sami leaves representing Agni for fertility. Right? So the popped rice, that means muri, right? Puffed rice is then, it's not muri. Popped rice, they mean puffed rice is muri. Popped rice is when it's done with the husk on it. When it's unhusked and you soak it in water and then put it in the hot sand, it pops. I mean, yeah, no, it puffs. So the rice in its form puffs up a little bit. It becomes a little bit bigger. Popped rice, then is the husk is on. So then when it's heated, it actually explodes like popcorn, like that. So it has that funny shape and all that. So that's the rice, prosperity. So that's in the east. And we see is that's also the aspect of that's where the sun comes from. You know, that's all, that energy all comes from there. Plants all grow nicely from that. So prosperity, knowledge comes from that side. Everything comes from that side. Right, Sami leaves an Agni for fertility, so it's fire. So in other words, when there's development, there's activity, that's all happening by fire. You know, just like your movement, that's happening by means the air is pushing on fire. Fire pushes on the nerves. Nerves push on the muscle, which is earth, then it moves. So fire is involved in all movement. Beside the basket should be placed a grinding stone with its pestle. And to the west of that, a mat made of viranya or kusa grass covered with cloth, right? So these are going to be main things that are there. So they're on that western side of the fire, right? Okay, so that basically means you have the either, oh no, this is going to be done now. Yeah, so basically it'll be in the spot on the western side of the fire where you'd sit for doing the yajna, these things are set up. Because this next part of the whole ceremony is then when the bride and groom will come up, things are offered in the fire from that side, they go around the fire. Okay, and then the west also is Varuna. He's also then one of the Adityas, so it also has that aspect of, you know, what is proper and everything like that. And you see is also, again, to do with water. And so then you have that aspect of relationship and all those aspects. The groom should present to the bride upper and lower clothes, right? This will be in the place where they're standing. I think they're also on the south, right? And so behind them on the south is where these friends are. Upper and lower cloths, which are new and washed, right? So they're new, but they've already been washed. It's not that just you bought them and they're still in the cellophane or something. Or, okay, you took it out of the cellophane, but they're new, but they've been washed. And so if you want to look good, then that means they'll be ironed again, folded nicely, everything. So in other words, it's new and it's ready for use. That's the whole point, is that it's new and ready to be used. New is not good enough. These other things, like when it mentions before, with the, you know, you're giving to the Brahmin, you know, the charity, you know, you to the Brahmin for the yajna, or that the father is the bride is giving to the groom. These being new don't have to be washed. These can be brand new, right? You know, you make them presentable and things like that, and but those don't. But this is it has to be new and washed. It has to be to that level of effort has been there, which she should accept, right? And it says here, and may put on. That's because in some traditions, she'll go out and put on the clothes at this time, right? So in South Indian tradition, then they tend to do that, like that. Not as much in North, but you see, is like, as we said, these different things, is they can be done at different times. So the whole thing of coming doing the garlands and all that, that's done at one time. So that may be done very early. Like much of the time, what they do is they'll pick the Muhurta very early in the morning, you know, or start in the Brahma Muhurta. So then it's always, you know, considered an auspicious time. Do that whole, you know, first part up to, you know, and that, and come up to this part here and do the cloth. Then she'll take the cloth and go and now dress for the wedding. So up to this point, she was wearing something nice and all that, but she wasn't wearing what she'll wear during the main part of the wedding. You know, so that other thing might be something, it might be like white, you know, nicely done and, you know, with all the jari and booties and everything like that, it'd be fancy, but, you know, it'll be something else. Now then she can go and put this on, and there's that whole new set of clothes. So that means then you also have the element of different people can give. The family's giving one set. Now from the boy's side, they're giving another set like this and that. So that way both sides can give. And it's nice for the girl. It's like, you know, depending on when it happens, like, you know, for others it may be in the evening or like this and that, or the South will do in the morning. That means before lunch, she's already put on two sets of clothes, right? And these two sets of clothes are as good as it gets, you know? So it's not bad, you know, that's why it said it's her day, right? So, you know, like that. But for us in our practice, generally we don't, it's there, it's done to show, you know, like that. You know, it's a gift and all that for us like this. And so that she doesn't put it on, because we're just going to, we generally just go straight through this whole thing like this. If you want, you have the time, you have 7 days, and want to make things, you can break it up into all these different parts, you know, pick the different timings for each thing. So you're doing one, and that way everyone's not sitting there for, you know, 2.5 hours straight, but, you know, they'll be here for this and that, and they'll go and they'll have their snack and they'll go for this and that. Yeah, but generally for us, we do these things. So for them, it's the parts that are not the main, they make the main and everybody's there, you know, and the parts that are the main, like what we go through and these things, everybody's not there. So, you know, say what you want. Is there, as a social environment, a social setting, then they've made it into something very wonderful. But as far as actually understanding the essence of what's going on and the spiritual aspect, they don't even get an E for effort. That's just an absolute fail. They did the ritual, so that's there. But who was there? I've seen it, some of them, except for the mother, father, the bride and groom, no one's paying attention. Everybody else is there in the hall, but they're all sitting around drinking coffee and eating snacks and, you know, meeting up with everybody and all this, you know. And anybody who has been to these things knows what I'm talking about. So here, as the Acharyas make it, as something serious as part of your devotional development that actually benefited the samskar, and so then it's all done like this. So it's not. But if you're from a background that the tradition is you do go and change, then by all means do it. You just have to factor it in the timing and how it's going to work. But if you're not, if it's not your background, I wouldn't bother with it like that, unless your contact in devotees, you spent all your time in South India, so even though you're not from there, but then, you know, all the friends, everybody from there, you're doing, then fine. So it doesn't matter. But the main thing is our main elements are there. And if you want to add to that some other things that are coming from other traditions, that's fine, as long as they don't go against what's here and don't drop what the Acharya has given for these other details of other communities. Yeah. Okay. So we'll stop there. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.